From Wisconsin Public Radio, this is Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in our studios on the campus of the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse. Thank you very much for joining us today for a conversation about homelessness in La Crosse and the surrounding area. As the winter months draw closer, we're much more cognizant of those who don't have a regular place to live and the plight that they face. Joining us are four guests who are excellently qualified to speak on this issue. First of all, Mayor Mitch Reynolds of La Crosse is joining us to talk about what the city is doing about homelessness and the people who are in need. Mayor Reynolds, thank you very much for joining us on Newsmakers.
I'm glad to be here. Thank you so much.
Hope Hickman is with the Salvation Army of La Crosse. Hope, thanks a lot for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Kevin Birch is with Catholic Charities of the La Crosse Diocese. Kevin, thanks a lot for joining the show today.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
And Lauren Juno is with the YWCA of La Crosse. Lauren, thanks a lot.
Ezra, I'm also happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
So we're talking about the homeless, and obviously anybody who's lived here for longer than a couple minutes knows it's going to get really, really cold really, really soon, and there are a lot of people who need a lot of help. Hope Hickman from the Salvation Army, what have you seen change over the last couple of years in terms of people needing the resources that the Salvation Army has to offer?
Yeah, so what I would say about homelessness is we have always been here to support individuals who are struggling, being unsheltered and things like that. I think in the last couple of years, we've just seen a lot of the struggles that people have been through enhanced by things like COVID and not having the access to as many resources, because as organizations, we are trying to adapt to changing regulations based on what best practices are out there to keep everybody as safe as possible.
Kevin Birch from Catholic Charities, what's your organization's role in helping the homeless? I know for some years now you've been involved in a warming shelter that is conspicuously located downtown, but I know Catholic Charities does a lot behind the scenes as well.
So yeah, we do run our warming center from November 1st, the night of November 1st, through the morning of May 1st. And typically that is the warming center season. Through COVID, we did respond as far as providing alternative sheltering options. Once COVID did hit, we did move off-site from our warming center location to a gymnasium. Then we did move back to our normal warming center location during the summer when the pandemic did hit. We also provided some day and evening sheltering at the Econo Lodge last year, which was in response to an outbreak that did happen within the homeless population. However, along those same lines, we have our St. Lawrence Community Services, which are housing and financial counselors, and they provide financial education and support to those that are on the verge of homelessness, to those that are homeless, and kind of everything in between, helping access housing and move them out of the homeless situation.
Lauren Juno is with the YWCA of La Crosse. And Lauren, I know the YWCA has been very active in a number of different kinds of efforts. I know you're lately you've been involved in a lot of like racial justice issues and issues regarding women's rights and the economic challenges that many women face. How long has homelessness been part of this this big effort that the YWCA has undertaken?
Our mission is pretty bold, and we are committed to eliminating racism and empowering women and promoting social justice for all people. And within that is the responsibility to support the efforts of organizations providing resources to women and families and individuals of color in our community who otherwise wouldn't be able to gain access to those resources. Homelessness is, significant for a lot of families in our community, and not just, actual literal homelessness. It's also housing instability for a lot of the families in our community. And so a lot of those you know, some of those family makeups may look like single mothers. They may look like households led by individuals of color. They may look like an aunt or an uncle or a grandma or a foster parent or whomever being head of household and, you know, just not quite being able to keep up with all of the bills and with all of the responsibilities of staying in a household. And especially in La Crosse, you know, where affordable housing is so limited, we see families and women every day that are struggling with homelessness. And so it really is a big part of what we do here at YWCA. But more than that, I think we are here to support our partners who do even more work. So, you know, especially Hope and Kevin, both of their organizations constantly providing emergency warming and emergency shelter opportunities to folks is something that we are trying to support and trying to encourage our clients to utilize.
I know there's annually all across the country, there are point in time surveys that are done that help to establish how many people are unsheltered throughout the country. Which, I don't know which one of you wants to try to take a crack at this. How many people are unsheltered in the La Crosse area? Do we know what that number is?
Well, I'll jump in here just briefly, and then somebody else can take this farther if you'd like. I know we had a survey, I believe July 28th, if that's 27th, 28th, something like that. And the exact number escapes me, but it was, I think there we, in our park, Huska Park, it's we had, I believe, 70 individuals that were there and another estimated 30, Lauren. I see you're nodding your head, but I think there were another 30 individuals that were estimated to be unsheltered, but not living in our park. So around 100 at that time. I believe we've seen growth since then. So, you know, I were working under the assumption that we're at about 120, 130 at this point.
It seems like a lot of the population has been concentrated in the last couple of months, especially at that park that you mentioned on the south side, yeah, at Huska Park. A lot of people living in tents down in that park. Obviously, not everyone who is unsheltered lives there, but a good many are. Mayor Reynolds, as the winter months approach, that's going to be an untenable situation for a lot of those people. What's in the works for them in terms of what the city's doing to reach out to them to try to find other alternatives to that?
That's a really good question. First of all, I want to give a little background on Huska Park. For those who don't know, it's one of our parks. We have 47 parks in the city of La Crosse. This is one that we identified as a place where we could create a stable, temporary place where we are our unsheltered population could at least spend the night without getting rousted out and pushed along and moved to somewhere else. And this certainly, when you talk about untenable situations, this was never meant to be any kind of ideal solution in any kind of way. We're just trying to gain some level of stability for the people who are spending their nights outdoors. The population has obviously bloomed and it's become, quite a large population down there. I was just at the park yesterday and I was talking to some of the folks living down there and talking about our plans for the future and what we're planning on right now. And this is subject to city council approval, which I don't anticipate a problem with, but what we're planning on doing is renting some space and rooms here to get everybody indoors. And then, you know, work with, along with the Salvation Army and Catholic Charities and moving as many people indoors. I think we can get everyone indoors. And that's my goal, is to make sure that everyone is indoors. I mean, like you said, Ezra, it's getting cold, you know, it's October, temps are down in the 30s and 40s at night. And people want to be indoors there for the most part. I do believe there are some who really struggle with staying indoors, frankly, but most everyone I talk to, they want to be indoors. They want to be behind a locked door. They want to have their, you know, their therapy pet with them. They want to have some assurance that their belongings won't get removed when they, you know, when they go and get food at the convenience store. You know, So that's what we're trying to do. It's a temporary solution. Clearly, this is not a permanent solution for us. We're working on that as well. So permanent transitional housing, a long-term process for kind of a wraparound care. So we're addressing issues upstream of some of the outcomes that we're seeing in terms of our unsheltered population and other poor outcomes. We have a lot of different things that we're working on, but immediately the goal is to get everybody indoors.
Mr. Mayor, you were talking about this as obviously not an ideal situation, but then again, it has been kind of an important intermediate step in solving the problem, because where a lot of these people were located before was widely accepted that they would be there on a parcel of land that's now being developed for another purpose close to the river, but a very unofficial situation where, as you were saying, they could get rousted out at pretty much any time. And what's it been like to see? Do you think it's helpful for people who need services and who are unsheltered to have some place that is more where they're more or less officially allowed to go and to stay if they have to?
Different perspectives on that. I mean, I think it was so. The feedback that I get from the population in the park is that they're very grateful for a place that is stable and that they can feel that it's, you know, again, non-ideal, a lot of challenges. Access to services is tough, and we don't exactly have a bus that goes by that park. It is a little farther from, you know, a little bit of a farther hike from where services are located than I would like. So the feedback I get from individuals there is, we really appreciate it, but we could obviously do a lot better. And that's the goal, is to just do a lot better and find permanent solutions, get everybody to a place where they have a stable home inside. So yeah, transitional, I think it was more just trying to make sure that we're not doing what a lot of other communities do and just say, you can't be here and you can't be here either. We wanted to say, look, here's a safe place. You can be here.
That's Mayor Mitch Reynolds from La Crosse. Kevin Birch is with Catholic Charities. Kevin, in terms of people seeking your organization's services, or maybe you can speak more generally as well based on your conversations with others, how has the pandemic affected people's danger of becoming unsheltered or in fact even the actual number of people who are homeless?
Maybe sidestepping that a little bit and trying to pull it together. I think our biggest thing that we're finding, you know, with our housing and financial counselors and even our, you know, our shelter coordinators and shelter staff, and, you know, as an organization who runs shelters across the state, having tents in a park, having a warming center, having shelter, those are temporary solutions also. They're not the ideal solution. The true solution to everything that we're talking about right now is housing, safe, affordable housing. And through the pandemic, what we have experienced is the lack of available, safe and affordable housing. We have had in most of the communities we serve in, we have available vouchers that are Section 8, rapid rehousing, tenant-based rental assistance programs that are ready to move people forward. And these vouchers remain open, as we've seen through the pandemic, because there had been a long moratorium where, you know, landlords could not evict. So we weren't seeing that normal progression of households of units opening up. And I know that sounds horrible to say, but people get evicted for certain reasons, and that has interrupted that natural flow of new units being available and having those vacancies to move people forward. And so we've kind of seen a stall, and if we cannot somehow figure out the unsheltered and sheltered bottleneck that is happening right now and find a place to move people forward to, the solution is there. And if we can't figure out that, and that's not a quick solution, then we are going to see this bottleneck issue for a while in our sheltered and unsheltered population. So one of the big things as an agency that also provides prevention, homeless prevention services, there needs to be a boost there. And I realize we have the RAP and the WERA program within the state that is really assisting with that, but we can't continue to see people entering into homelessness because there aren't people really moving out of homelessness. So it's a crisis. It's unprecedented. We've never seen this before. So asking some of the questions we can, throw a dart and take a guess. But in some instances, we're doing things we've never done before. We're thinking outside the box. But what I can say is we've never worked so closely with community partners to work to resolve some of these issues. We've never worked so closely with state, city, and county officials. Our partners, we're all partners in this together. These are our neighbors, and we're a community, and we have to solve this together.
That's Kevin Birch with Catholic Charities of La Crosse. Also on the panel today, Mitch Reynolds, the mayor of La Crosse, Lauren Juno of the YWCA of La Crosse, and Hope Hickman with the Salvation Army. And I'm grateful for their participation in today's conversation. It will continue. And speaking of some of those necessary remedies that Kevin was mentioning a moment ago, we're going to talk about a new collaboration that's just started in town that is working to help those who are unsheltered receive the services that they need. This is Newsmakers. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can always send us an email, newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. Program continues in just a moment. It's Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Wisconsin studios. We're talking about homelessness today on Newsmakers and what services are available for those among us who are unsheltered. And we have guests with us from the YWCA, from the Salvation Army, from Catholic Charities, and Mayor Mitch Reynolds from La Crosse joins us as well. And I was beginning to talk about a new effort that's underway, a collaboration between all of your organizations and others as well. And it's called the REACH Service and Resource Center. Let's talk, Lauren Juno from YWCA. I gather that this is a big part of your effort to help get these organizations space in a same facility that they can all be close together and help those in need. Talk about what's going on there at the REACH Center.
Absolutely. Well, we officially opened October 14th. We cut the ribbon on the building and officially opened it as the REACH Services and Resource Center. This project is the product of a lot of hard work from multiple agencies and partners in the community who saw a need and wanted to go for it. So this came from a grant that became available through the state. It was a competitive grant application from COVID relief money that was sent to our state. And the state decided that they wanted to put some of that into housing and homelessness prevention. And so we saw an opportunity and thought, what's one thing that we haven't been able to do in this community that we've wanted to do for a long time? And that was to cohabitate and bring resources together so that when individuals need support or need resources, they don't have to go to four different agencies to find it. Now they can walk in one building, and when someone walks in and says, hi, I need somewhere to live. I also need clothing. I also need food. My children need supplies for school. We could use utility assistance. All of those things can be found under one roof, and we can allow clients to come in the building to warm up, to charge their phone, to, you know, print documents off on the computer, whatever they might need. And we have multiple agencies under the same roof who can come directly to them and meet those needs in the moment.
So is this a situation where they might walk in and like a single person would help usher them to the different agencies where they need help, or would they still, is there still a degree of a person having to know what they're asking for, so to speak?
I mean, not really. So I think, you know, folks can walk in and we've got staff up front that do a really nice job with intake. And what that means is when someone walks in and they might come to the desk and say, I don't really know what I need, but someone told me to come here. And our staff are trained and can use tools that the agencies have developed together to really assess what that individual's needs are on a very, you know, basic level. And then not so basic level, we can provide mental and physical health care in the space. We can link folks up with financial counseling through Catholic Charities. Independent Living Resources is in the building, and they do a lot of outreach work, we know, down at Huska Park and all over the city. And so folks are really, even if they don't know what they need, able to be linked up with resources that through conversation and through allowing folks to feel comfortable in a space and not feel shuffled around, we can get those resources for them. And I think one of the really nice things about this center is that we go to the individual who's coming in. They get to come inside, they can go into a room, and they can stay in that room for 4 hours if they want to, while they receive services or support or resources in whatever form, and the agencies come directly to them. So we're trying our best to decrease duplication of services, stop shuffling people around, and just focus in on how can we be better about getting you all of the resources you need in a one-stop shop.
Are there any qualification requirements for this, or is it basically anybody who is experiencing that level of difficulty where they don't have a consistent place to stay?
You know, it's really anyone in the community who needs any type of resources.
Okay.
YWCA doesn't just do housing and homelessness prevention. We have a number of other programs, and many of our partners do as well. And so it's really anyone in the community who has a need, especially those who have experienced some kind of housing instability. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're living without a home currently. It could mean that they couch surf with friends. It could mean that they have lived in the same house for 15 years and had a medical emergency and can't afford to pay their mortgage. It looks like all kinds of things. And it really is, this building is a resource for the community. And I hope they're able to use it that way.
That's Lauren Juno from the YWCA of La Crosse. She's talking about the REACH Service and Resource Center. And Lauren, one more question about the REACH Center. Where is it, and how can people get in touch?
Yeah, we are located at 212 11th Street South. It used to be the Mayo Behavioral Health Building previously. And we're at the cross street of Cass and King. So folks can find us on 11th off Cass and King. We're open 8 to 4 every day, Monday through Friday. And folks can also reach us by emailing us at info@ywcalax.org. They can also call us on the phone. We're at 608-781-2783. There's always someone at the front desk ready to greet you or to answer a phone call. If you don't know what you might need, you're welcome to call and ask us what services we have, and we'll try to help you as much as we can.
Hope Hickman is with the Salvation Army of La Crosse. Hope, one of the things that Lauren mentioned was, and it's been mentioned before in today's conversation as well, people couch surfing and different kinds of staying in friends' homes and things like that. I know when we talk about someone being unsheltered, the image that comes to mind is the stereotypical image of someone who literally lives on the streets. But it's a much bigger problem than that. Talk about the different ways that the people that you work with can experience, even if they're not literally living outdoors, they experience housing insecurity.
Yeah, so there are so many different versions of housing instability. So you could be homeless and unsheltered and be out on the street, that picture that we have in our head of what homelessness looks like. But that can also look like someone who is living in their vehicle. And maybe it's not cold enough for them to decide that they need a different type of shelter or come in for services. We're also talking about individuals who are, like we talked about, couch surfing. And we also talked about how COVID has changed what that looks like. Families who might allow someone to come stay with them in their household might be more hesitant now because you don't know what that person's bringing in. But something that we do see is when families or individuals are considering letting someone couch surf at their home, they're also taking into consideration what the weather looks like and what other options there are for that family member or friend who is asking for those services. But in general, Salvation Army, we take into account availability of open beds within shelter and if that person, what kind of options they have outside of using us for shelter or walking them through what their different options are.
What kind of, speaking of Salvation Army shelters, you have been helping people find shelter in our community for many, many years, you know, since I remember taking a tour of one of your facilities as a child in school, learning about all the different ways that the Salvation Army helps. How many beds do you have that you use on a regular basis to help people like that?
So that's a very tricky question. Just because we, at Salvation Army, each location is individual to that community. So if you toured a Salvation Army in Madison, it's going to look a lot different than what it looks like here in La Crosse. And we support families and individuals in our shelter. So our shelter is set up in a way that we can put families in what we call family rooms, which are designed like what you would see in a dorm. So having multiple people in one room. So thinking about our sheltering capacity, we're looking at, okay, well, this specific family room can support four individuals. However, if we're placing a family of two in that family room, we're not placing anybody else in that room with them. So that capacity to hold four people now turns into a capacity of two. So I would say, in general, Salvation Army right now, looking at all of the best practices and safety procedures that we've put in place, we're looking at anywhere between 30 and 40 individuals that we're able to support. However, we are looking at different sources of funding and how we can continue to support families in a different way and what that looks like to use what hotel vouchers and maybe placing a family in a hotel for a short period of time and still continuing to provide some case management services so that they are able to make goals and to reach those goals within a specific set time so that they can move forward and find some more sustainable housing options.
Kevin Birch with Catholic Charities. One of the things that comes up when you talk to people about homelessness, and this came up in some of my conversations in preparation for this show today, you hear about the stereotypes of homeless people, of unsheltered people, that they're addicted to something, that they are mentally unstable, even that they're dangerous, that they're unemployed, that they are where they are as a result of their own poor decision-making skills. And yet we see time and time again that some of these people, just a lot of them, in fact, don't neatly fit into those stereotypes. Talk about the reality versus the stereotype of who the unsheltered are in our communities.
So that's a very good question, very complex. But I will say, you know, from a stereotypical standpoint, you know, the person that is unsheltered on the streets, maybe you don't see them in shelter. That is what you're seeing and what's open and visible to the public. The part that you're not seeing are those many people that are in shelter that are working during the day, working at night, and you might not even notice them during the day as they blend in with the rest of the population. But we tend to really look at and focus you know, on those that outwardly show those you know, might have mental health issues, they might have those addiction issues, and those become very visible to us. And then that is the stereotype that we put on those people. And all homeless people are that, right? But what we're not seeing and what the general public doesn't see are those that come into shelter every night and they have worked a long shift at a factory line or at a local business. And they're scrambling to be able to find a spot in shelter so that they can get at least a decent night's sleep and a meal in their stomach and get up and do it the next day. In fact, those people, which make up a lot of our sheltered population, are my heroes. I cannot imagine being a part of running a shelter, of seeing staff and, you know, volunteers help support our shelters. Seeing, I cannot imagine being in a shelter and waking up every day not knowing when I go to work, when I come back, if I'm going to have a spot to lay my head because I need to get up and go to work that next day. Sleeping next to somebody who's snoring, sleeping next to somebody who may not be feeling comfortable that night and may have some mental health issues and you're up all night. It's just from a heroic standpoint for them to be able to get through that day working, get through that night in shelter and wake up the next day and do it again. That's amazing. And they do it day in and day out. So to me, I guess I would just encourage the general population, if your stereotype is, you know, that person sitting on the bench, you know, who's struggling with mental health or AODA issues, please reach out to one of our agencies, the Salvation Army, Catholic Charities. We need help through this pandemic. We have lost volunteers. We would really encourage you to help our sheltered population. And I think if you were to volunteer or even come on as staff, you will find that you are going to get more from the experience than you are going to give in the experience. It's amazing to see, and you will grow as a person.
That's Kevin Birch with Catholic Charities of La Crosse. Also on the panel today, Mitch Reynolds, the mayor of La Crosse, Lauren Juno of the YWCA of La Crosse, and Hope Hickman with the Salvation Army. And I'm grateful for their participation in today's conversation. If you'd like to get in touch with the program, you can email us, newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. I'm Ezra Wall. Our program continues in just a moment. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall in our Southwest Wisconsin studios. We're talking about homelessness today on Newsmakers and what services are available for those among us who are unsheltered. And we have guests with us from the YWCA, from the Salvation Army, from Catholic Charities, and Mayor Mitch Reynolds from La Crosse joins us as well. I know everybody needs money, and of course, somebody could donate money to any of your organizations, at least the charitable organizations represented here. But in terms of people actually lending of their time and talents, starting with you, Kevin, what would a volunteer do who signed up to work with Catholic Charities?
I think we could find a fit for anyone, whether that be volunteering in shelter, whether that be providing a volunteer meal once a night or once a month or, you know, maybe weekly. We have other administrative jobs that people could do. So really it's just a matter of reaching out and letting us know what they're interested in doing. And then we can try to fit that within our different programs.
Hope, what about the Salvation Army? Everybody knows about the Red Kettles. How else can people help?
We love the holiday time of year and what bell ringing brings. But also some of our opportunities include working with our staff to provide meals to those in the community. We provide meals Monday through Sunday, so every day of the week, and making sure that Our residents especially are getting all the meals that they need. Kevin had mentioned earlier that a lot of individuals in shelter have jobs. They go out during the day and they or at night to do that, and so we're sending them with a meal so that they have fuel for the rest of their day. And so that's one way that we would place you depending on what your interests are as a volunteer. We also field a lot of different calls throughout the day, so it is also really helpful to have that administrative support if you're maybe wanting to or have experience taking calls and just kind of helping people find the resources, whether that is with us or like Lauren has mentioned with the Reach Center, being able to say, hey, this is a spot that you can go, and just being a person who is able to listen and kind of, like I said, field those calls. And like Kevin had mentioned, we have a lot of different opportunities at the Salvation Army. And really it's gauging what is a good fit for you and what can you do to help support Salvation Army in their mission.
And where can people find that information or contact information?
So people can, yeah. The best way to find out more information is to go to our website. It is salacrosse.org, or they can give us a call at 608-782-6126, and we'll be able to direct your call to the volunteer coordinator and get you set up.
Lauren, what about the YWCA? Are there opportunities there for people to help out at the new Reach Center or elsewhere throughout your organization?
There's actually an opportunity as soon as Monday if folks want to start helping out. We are actually hosting on Monday, November 1st, Hearts in the Park. It's the second annual Hearts in the Park event. We're going to be hosting it from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. And Hearts in the Park is an opportunity for individuals who are experiencing housing instability, whether that means literally homeless out on the street or, you know, a family or individual in need. And folks are welcome to come over to our building. We will have nurses and doctors and other agencies here to support folks in whatever they're needing that day. Specifically, Hearts in the Park was designed to bring healthcare to the outdoors, to meet folks where they're at. And we're going to be doing foot care that day to help, you know, folks feel good going into the winter months. We're going to be doing blood pressure checks and other vital checks to make sure that folks are healthy. There will be doctors on site to do visits with folks if they're experiencing medical conditions that they, you know, haven't felt they need to go into the hospital for, but probably need to get checked out. Those services will be available that day, along with things like hygiene bags that people can take with them and clothing that people can pick up. We'll be feeding everyone that day. We'll have several things, you know, several hot meals going around. And we also are still looking for some volunteers for that event. So if folks are interested in volunteering, I would encourage them to email us at info@ywcalax.org. We will also have a donation drop-off site during that time. So if individuals want to make a difference and they're not really sure what to do and they don't have time to volunteer, but maybe they could stop at the grocery store this weekend and then bring some stuff by. We've got a list of items that we'd like to see up on our website, but we're specifically looking for things like unopened, unexpired, full-size hygiene items, socks and undergarments that are brand new, unopened, hand and foot warmers, tarps, new or lightly used winter boots for folks, first aid supplies, phone chargers, hair care and accessories. So a number of things that we see that typically, you know, nonprofits may not have to give out, but that we see that folks need. So feel free to also go, you know, check out our Facebook or our website, ywcalax.org, to get a list of, you know, wish list items. But we would love to have extra volunteers and for folks to come kind of mingle and help support individuals in our community who are experiencing housing instability right now, here coming up on Monday.
And that's the Hearts in the Park event. Which park? Is it at Huska Park?
It's here at the Reach Center. It was named Hearts in the Park, but actually took place at the Salvation Army last year. And since our building is so new and we're trying to collaborate all together, we thought what better place to have it this year. So we'll have it. We're going to be blocking off the entire block here in front of the building, and we'll have tents up and all kinds of services and resources available to folks.
Sounds very good. Sounds very good. Mayor Reynolds, opportunities for people to help out with the city, or if not, where do you see as the mayor looking around, where do you see that needs a little bit more attention that people could help out?
I want to address something that Kevin said earlier, and this relates to that question when we're talking about the lack of housing in our area, and this of course is in many other areas as well. We have a chronic shortage of housing, and that's one of the things as the city that we will be addressing and that we are addressing right now. I tend to believe that our shortage is due to the tremendous demand that's put on our housing market due to our large college student population. I mean, it's not a bad thing necessarily. I mean, the student population is not a bad thing, but the truth is they put a huge demand on the market for housing. So we really need to add supply to the housing market to increase the supply overall. We have a couple of developments that we're doing that with right now when there's a lot more in the pipeline. So that's the type of thing that I'm looking to do, and we'll be utilizing some of our federal stimulus funding to make sure that we're adding not only affordable housing, but workforce housing, market rate housing, all types of housing to our market, really just to increase supply to increase access as well. Something else that we touched on, collaboration. I just want to, you know, my hat's off to the Reach Center with this. And I really do hope that this is a model for other communities to follow, because it really, you know, one of my favorite things about the Reach Center is that the client goes into a room and all the staff comes to the client. So, you know, the client's not even going from window to window. It's not like the DMV. The client sits in, you know, it's like, sit down, take a load off, relax. We'll come to you. And I think that's that service first mentality that I think we all need to follow in relation to this very, you know, this population that's so varied, but faces so many different challenges. So I'm really happy about that. And part of what the city is doing is really getting involved really strongly in some ways, the very first time. I mean, the city has had involvement in addressing homelessness in the past, but in sort of a peripheral way. Somebody else, you know, somebody has another job, but they're interested in homelessness, and so they're working with some solutions. But we're going to be bringing on a homeless services coordinator, and that person's job, that position's job, will be only to make sure that we are coordinating together with all these wonderful organizations like Salvation Army, Catholic Charities, the YWCA, and so many others. And making sure that we're doing our part as a city to make a really strong effort to find some lasting solutions. There's a lot that we're doing now, and there's much more that I plan to do to address the things that I can do, which is make sure there are safe places for people as we transition to a time when hopefully people will have permanent housing. And also to make sure that we're adding to the housing availability in our market, as well as making sure that we have someone who's working on this issue every single day of the week.
Mayor Reynolds, we see this issue, especially the conspicuous aspects of homelessness being some of the people who need the most services and who are the most desperate, sort of centering in the city of La Crosse itself. But I've got to think that a lot of that has to do with the fact that La Crosse is where the resources are available, and so it's where the people end up going. Are the surrounding communities, to your estimation, doing enough on this problem that exists more in your city than in others because of the resources that are available here?
Oh, that's such a great question.
Isn't it though?
It really is. So no would be the answer, is a short answer. This is very complicated. We are known as a community that cares, and we do care for people. And I have established very clearly that this is a safe place. And so frankly, surrounding communities are directing people to come here. and not necessarily service agencies, but county governments, police departments, sheriff departments. We have numerous stories of police, sheriff's deputies driving to city limits, dropping someone off and saying, good luck, have fun. And you know what? We're not going to stop what we're doing. We're going to care for the people that are here in our midst. And if they keep coming, we're going to keep caring.
What can be done, though, as time goes on, what can be done to make sure that that other communities are sharing, at least in the financial burden that creates?
That's a really good question. I think that in large part, because there are so many communities at play, this is part of what we would like to see in terms of leadership from the state. I think that there needs to be a much stronger effort on the state level to ensure that communities that are not committing resources have maybe additional resources from the state that they have to commit to those who are facing housing instability or are facing issues of food insecurity or any of the things that have been mentioned so far. I can't force Vernon County to do more for the people who are facing housing instability. I can't do that for Crawford County or Monroe County or any of the surrounding counties. It would be better if they made that as much of a priority as we are, but I can't force them to do that. But it would be nice if we could get some leadership from the state to maybe help address that.
So just a moment or two left in our conversation, and I want to make sure that we spend it making sure that people who either are in crisis or in need, or people who feel like they might be on the verge of being in that kind of need or know someone who might be in that kind of need, know where to go, where to reach out to first. So, well, let's start. I mean, there are a lot of resources under one roof there at the Reach Center, and maybe that's the place that people should go. So I'll start with Lauren. How can people get in touch if they feel like they're in need?
Yeah, I would definitely say that the Reach Service and Resource Center is the place to go. We would encourage folks to, you know, if you can't get over here, call us on the phone. We're available 608-781-2783. They can also find us online or just stop by. We're open 8 to 4, and walk-in service is how we operate. So you're welcome to call and make appointments, but really, you know, one of the easiest things might be to just walk in the door and start talking to folks, and that way we can figure out what services you're in need of, and how we can support those needs.
11th Street between King and Cass?
Yes, that's correct.
There we go. Kevin Birch is with Catholic Charities. Kevin Charities, there you go. Catholic Charities in La Crosse. Kevin, how can people get in touch with your organization?
I'm also going to echo, the Reach Center is there for a reason. We're a partner in that Reach Center. I really feel that is the best place to get services and get started. However, you know, we do have a website as well at Catholic Charities, so there you can reach out to us via the website. Otherwise, the number I had shared earlier, which is the 608-782-0710.
Hope Hickman with Salvation Army. Same for you, and I would imagine at least partially the same answer. But assuming somebody in need is going to reach out to someplace like the Reach Center, if they do feel like they need to get in touch with the Salvation Army individually, how can they do that?
Yeah, I would say, again, like you said, reaching out to the Reach Center as an initial ask and resource, but then also being able to reach out to Salvation Army for any concerns that they might have. Please give us a call. We're at 608-782-6126, and we'll be able to direct you in what we think we can provide for you and what your best options are and how we can help.
Well, I want to thank all of my guests today for being on the program. Mitch Reynolds is the mayor of La Crosse. Hope Hickman is with the Salvation Army. Kevin Birch is with Catholic Charities. And Lauren Juneau is with the YWCA. And we've been talking about the plight of La Crosse and the La Crosse area's unsheltered population. This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you'd like to hear part of this conversation again, or if you'd like to stream a previous episode, you can find them all on our website, which is wpr.org/newsmakers. You can get in touch with the program by sending us an email, newsmakers@wpr.org. That's newsmakers@wpr.org. You've got a few opportunities to hear the show each week. Our show broadcasts originally Friday mornings at 10 o'clock on Ideas 90.3. We repeat Friday evening at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9. And of course, we're always online at wpr.org/newsmakers. For Dawn Jewell, my producer, I'm Ezra Wall. Join us again next week for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.